lot in Amazing Grace. Grace that taught my heart to fear, and then grace my fears relieved. Man, that's amazing. Scared me to death, and then took the fear away. If you will, turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we see here a story of Nicodemus, and we're going to get into that. And then we're going to see in the end of it a little bit about John the Baptist and some things like that. So, John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify that which ye have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh unto the light, and his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. And after these things, Jesus' disciples came unto him in the Judea, and there tarried with them and baptized. And John also baptized in Enon, near to Siloam, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. Jesus was not yet cast. John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose questions between some of John's disciples and of the Jews about purifying. And there came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same that baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given from heaven. That'd be a good place to circle something. Yet yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. He that is the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. Let's go back to the beginning. First of all, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's been raised up in the church, in the synagogue there. He's been raised up in Jewish tradition. He's read his scriptures over and over and over again. He should know for a fact that this is the Messiah, and he has a good idea that he is, because he says, "We know that thou art a man of God. You can't do the things." And if you read John, the only thing he's really done up to right now is he made water into wine. Because it says, you're going through John and he gets on a little bit farther and says, now this is the second thing he's done. This is the third thing he's done. But up to now, he says, we see all these miracles you've done. So I'm saying, is this chapter right where it needs to be or not? I don't know, but I know God put it where he wants it. But it says here, Nicodemus says, we know that thou art a man of God. We know that thou art come from God because we have seen the miracles. Now we know that Jesus said, if you don't believe in me because of who I am, at least believe in me because of the miracles that you've seen. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be quickened by God. It's not a world thing. It's not a earthly thing. It's a God thing. He says you must be born again. Let's go back to John chapter 1 real quick. It says in verse 12, it says, for as many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. He said, even to them that believed on his name. Just believe that Jesus is who he is. It says, which were not born of the blood. This was not just a decision. Now, don't get me wrong, I made a decision. But this isn't a decision that came to me just out of seeing everything going on, and all of a sudden my mind just decided to be religious. This was a decision brought unto me, let's look at it, not by the will of the flesh, not by not being born of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. In other words, you don't decide you're going to go to heaven. You don't just wake up and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. There's a good song like that. If you've been born again, it's a good one. But if you're lost still, you can't just decide to follow Jesus. It says, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If we've ever said it one time, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. You get a hold of that, wherever you're at, if you all of a sudden had a heart change towards God, it wasn't you coming to a revelation in yourself, it's God bringing revelation to you. It's God opening your heart. It's God opening your eyes. It's God showing your need for salvation. It's God doing a work in your heart. Now we're back in the text. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be born again, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? He's missing the point here. He's missed it altogether. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? The answer is technically, no way. Can't happen. So there's something different going on here. It's not about how do I get to this place where I can be born again. How do I physically come to a place where I can be reborn? It's not about you being reborn. It's about God reborning you from above. It's about God doing something in you. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say this to thee, except a man be born of the water. That's flesh birth. We say when a man gets born, water comes forth, and the water breaks, and then the baby comes forth. So lest a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So there's two births we're talking about here. There's two things that must take place. First of all, it says you must be born in the flesh. You got to be in the flesh. Now, some people say, Well, what about all them babies that are getting aborted? I don't know, but it says here, right there, it says you've got to get born to have to worry about being saved. You got to be born to have to worry about this thing. And you'd say, well, let's go real sideways and we'll just kill all the babies. They all go to heaven automatically. That's not called evangelism. You're not going to get everybody into heaven by killing all the babies. That's not the way it's supposed to work. In fact, in my mindset here, it says you must be born in the flesh. Now, I don't know what God does with all the unborn babies. But I do know what he does with the ones that are born in the flesh. If you're born in the flesh, you're either going to die in the flesh or you're going to be born in the spirit. He's going to either let you stay where you're at or he's going to quicken you and make you alive. So you must be born again. It says that which is flesh is flesh and that which is spirit, he cannot enter into the, if you haven't been born of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. In other words, don't be all crazy, but marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. In other words, don't try to get this bigger than it is. Don't try to analyze it till you can figure out how you can do it yourself. Marvel not in this thing, but just trust God. Believe in God for who He is. Believe in God for His very name's sake. Says, marvel not that you must be born again. But it says here, the wind bloweth. Now, he's using the wind here, but we understand the Spirit moves anywhere it wants to, any way it wants to. The Spirit could touch anybody in this place anytime it wants to and do what He wants to with them. He might even call a preacher from somebody in this place. I don't know. Might be a young man or another young man somewhere that God may be dealing with. The Spirit moves on that person and says, I'm calling you to be a preacher. You need to start studying. He can also move on anybody in this place and born them again from above anytime He gets ready to. He can do that. He says, that the wind bloweth where it listeth. In other words, the Spirit of God is not restricted by man. The Spirit of God is not shut up by man. We can't decide to shut the doors and the Spirit can't come in. If the Spirit so chooses to move on somebody here today, we will not stop it. In fact, I'm hoping He does. I'm praying He does. That's the whole reason I'm preaching. I'm wanting Him to move on. So the wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound of it. We know in Acts it says a mighty rushing wind came in and they were cloven tongues of fire appeared on people and stuff like that. And they spoke. And in Acts, God was doing something with the apostles to do a work in the church. But it says here, the wind bloweth. And the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. In other words, we can hear the wind blowing. We can hear the wind coming. Big old storms coming up, rainstorm. You can hear it, and you start have to pay attention to the trees to try to figure out what direction it's coming from, and then you can. But if all you were was in a big open vast space, and there were no trees and no flowers and no grass, you might see the dust if you're in the desert. But what I'm trying to say is, if you were in a place where all you could do is just hear the wind, you could not figure out where it came from. And it comes from wherever it wants to. Whenever the Spirit comes from wherever it wants to, whenever it wants to, the way it wants to. And so goeth, and so everyone that is born of the Spirit. I didn't know the day the Spirit was going to come on me. I didn't know the day God was going to born me from above. I didn't say, well, today is the day I'm going to get saved. That's not the way it worked at all. And I don't imagine it worked with much of y'all either. You didn't wake up that morning and say, you know what, I'm getting saved today. Praise the Lord. No. The Spirit came on you where you were at. The Spirit showed you your need for salvation. The Spirit showed you were in sin. The Spirit showed you were lost. And it opened your eyes and ears to the fact that you needed Jesus. That's how the Spirit moved on you. It didn't just bump you and leave you. It moved on you. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And I'm trying my best to try to explain it. I don't even know how these things can be, actually. All I know is God moved on me and I'm saved. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was askeered, but now I'm okay. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say to thee, we speak that which we know. Now, yes, I am righteous. I've been born again and all that. And all you who are saved are righteous, have been born again. But the only thing we know is what we know. I don't have no super spiritual thing going on. All I can tell you is I used to be lost, and now I'm found. I used to be blind, but now I see. It says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. I'm telling you, I was lost and now I'm found. That's the only witness I got. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ died for my sins and He took care of it. That's the only witness I got. If I tell you earthly things and you receive not my witness, if I tell you what God has done to me and you receive not my witness, if I have told you earthly things and you have believed me not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? If I knew something even more spiritual, if you won't believe the little thing I've got into this thing, if you won't believe that God has saved me by His grace, if you won't believe that God has saved these that are believers by their grace, if I told you even something bigger, you still wouldn't get it. You still wouldn't believe it. And no man that ascended up into heaven, but He that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. In other words, there's only one who can tell you exactly what took place in heaven. There's only one who's ever been there. There's only one who's ever came down from there. There's only one who has been a witness to us of what God has done. There's only one who has come with His holy precious blood to die for the sins of men. There's only one who came down, and only one who's went up. And it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted. In other words, this Son of Man, this Jesus, is telling him right off the bat, I am going to be crucified. I am going to die on that cross. And there's a reason I'm going to die on that cross. I'm going to die on that cross for the sins of the people. My people. His people. In fact, let's go to Numbers 21 real quick. It won't take us long. Numbers 21. In verse 5. And the people spake against Moses. Wherefore, having we brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls loaf this light bread. In other words, they didn't even like the manna. We're tired of it. You know, you got us all out here. You brought us out of Egypt, but man, this ain't cutting it. This is not quite what we expected. And they murmured against Moses. They murmured against God. And the Lord sent fiery serpents, many of them. I don't know how many serpents there were, but there was a bunch of them. He said He sent fiery serpents among the people. Now, we know that they were thousands, maybe even almost a million people there. There was a lot of folks in that desert. He said He sent serpents among the people. And that was to show them their sinfulness, to show them their way that they had went against God, to show them how they had murmured and complained against God. He sent serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died. Sin bringeth death. Murmuring bringeth death. This brought death. This wasn't just a little hurt you thing. And some of the people who were bitten, they were dying. They needed some kind of help. They had no hope. I have been bit by the snake. I have nothing to do but die. What am I going to do? Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. They realized they were sinners. They said, oh boy, we messed up. We've done something evil against God. And they says, we have sinned and we have spoken against the Lord. We have spoken against the Lord. You know, if you reject God's word, you're same as speaking against the Lord, as saying, Lord, you're not telling the truth. Lord, I don't believe you. Lord, I don't care what you got to say. I'm not going to buy into it. They had spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He may take away the serpents from us. They wanted Him to just take them right now. Get these snakes out of here. Get these fiery serpents out of here. We're afraid of them. We know that if they bite us, they're going to kill us. And they're all around us. We don't know exactly what bush they're going to come out of or what If we pick up a blanket or whatever, he might be laying down under there. If you know anything about snakes, they get everywhere. They curl up when it gets warm, and they curl around when it gets cool. And if you mess with them, they'll bite you. He says, we got them everywhere. And when they bite you, they kill you. He says, take away, we pray thee, the Lord, take away the serpent from us. And Moses prayed unto the prayed for the people. Moses says, let me make intercession. Let me find out what God might do here. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee a fiery serpent. Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. Something to look at. Something to put your eyes upon. Something to put your faith in. Something to trust in. Take you and make you a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. Now, I don't know if the pole had any little things on it or not. I just know that this serpent is on a pole. How he's wrapped up there, I don't know. And he put him on his pole. And it says, and it shall come to pass, that everyone, now we don't know if everybody got bit or not, but everyone that got bit, everyone that was bitten, everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it, he shall live. You have been bitten by sin. I was bitten by sin. When I looked upon Christ, I had life. When I looked upon Him as my Savior, when I looked upon Him as the one who could take away my... I didn't look upon Him as sin. I looked at Him as my sin bearer. He was not one of these snakes, but He was the one who could take the death bite away. He was the one I put my faith in. If you look at them, you might have still got bit. This one over here might come behind you. But when you looked at the one on the pole, when you got bit, when you knew you were going to... See, these people that got bit knew they were going to die. It didn't say some of them died. It said when they got bit, they died. If you know you've been bitten, if you know you have sin, if you know you need a sin covering, if you know that you're going to die, then you need to look to Jesus. You need to look on that pole to the one who could take your sins away. You need to look on the one who came and died for your sins. If that's where you're at, Jesus came for you. And they hung him on the pole, and everyone that looked upon them when they were bitten, they lived. It didn't say they almost lived. It didn't say they might live. It said the ones who were bitten, when they looked toward the pole, when they looked toward the serpent on the pole, they lived. Let's go back to John. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, I have come to take the sin debt of all those who will believe. In fact, let's keep on going. The whosoever that understands he's bit, the whosoever that understands he's in sin, the whosoever that understands I am in need of salvation, the whosoever believeth in Him. There's a definite thing there. It's not believing in your religion. It's not believing in you going to church. It's not believing in your Bible reading services. It says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's not your religion. It's Him. It's not your Bible study. It's Him. It's not being good. It's Him. For God so loved the world, and man, that some of them people want to take that all kind of places. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and I'll even go that far. He gave His Son for all the cosmos and all the world and all the things that He created. God, when Jesus Christ, when He died on that cross, He brought back the title deed and says, "It is finished. I got it." But here's what it says also in there. It says that whosoever, it didn't say I died for the world that you might, maybe, sorta, kinda, have somebody to go to. It says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. It didn't say, I died for everybody, but you can refuse it. It says, whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. If I'm a believer in Him, I will not perish. If you're a believer in Him, you will not perish. But I have a problem with that. If you don't believe in Him, guess what? You will. There's no other place for it. If the ones who believe do not perish, then the ones who believe not must perish. There's no in-between spot. You can't sit on the fence and say, well, I'm kind of, sort of, maybe kind of. Either you believe and are saved, or you believe not, and you're condemned. Let's go. Let's see what it says. Should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Might with power. The world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Whoa, I like that. If I have believed in Him, I am no longer under condemnation. I want you to understand, if you have not believed in Him, all the wrath of God is still abiding on you. All the anger of God is still coming towards you. Everything that God hates, if you're not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, He's coming after it one day. With a vengeance. With a hatred. With a fire. A consuming fire. He's a hammer that's going to take it out. It says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. It didn't say you will be condemned. You're condemned already. When you were born a sinner because of Adam. You were under condemnation already. You weren't alive and then died and come back alive. You were born dead. The only life I had was in Adam before he sinned. When Adam fell, I died. Now, I was alive once. It says in Romans, I was alive once, but that's before the fall. In Adam, before he fell, I was alive. Spiritual, everything. But when Adam died, I died with him. When Adam fell, I fell with him. When his spirit was taken away dead, mine was too. It says here, I was condemned. When I was born, without the grace of God, without God causing me to believe, without you turning your eyes upon Jesus, you're condemned already. Not something that's going to happen in the future. Not something you're going to say, well, you know, if I stay just this good, it'll be okay. No, you're condemned already. I was condemned already. I never was okay. I never was at a spot where I could say, well, if I just don't cross this line, everything will be fine. Well, the line was crossed back when Adam failed. The line had already been crossed. I wasn't even there to cross it. He did it for me. We've got some things to talk about when I see Him one day. But anyways, that's another story. It says, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why he's condemned. Because when God made statement, this is my Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When God says, I have made testimony that this is the Son of God, you would not believe. It says here that because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son, because you won't come to Christ, because you won't say, Lord, Savior, Master, because you still want to say, I got this thing, I can handle this thing, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to make it through, because you will not believe in the name of the only begotten Son, the one who was sent, the one who came because he wanted to, the one who came because he knew that if he didn't come, I would split hell wide open. The one who knew that if he didn't die on that cross, I would die in my sins. The one who knew that if he didn't come, that all the rest who believed would die in their sins. He came willingly to please the Father for those that God placed in him. I don't know who they are. Never claimed to. But I do know this. I have been commissioned and commanded to preach the gospel to everybody. My hope in preaching is that everybody would believe and be saved. And that would not hinder the Word of God. It would show the power of God. If everybody that heard it would believe and be saved. But I do know that he has chosen out some people. It could be the rest of the world. I don't know. It could. I don't know. But I do know this. If you don't believe, you're condemned already. If you don't believe, you're not going to get there. It says, and this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation. That light is come into the world. Light is come into the world. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the creator of the world, the maker of the world, life in himself, has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. I loved my sin at one time. Every man before he's been born again loved their sins. Even the small sins, even the people who were born saved young, and I thank God for all those who are saved young, because maybe, hopefully God will not let them go through anything like some of us have been through. But it says here, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. And why do they love darkness rather than light? Because their deeds are evil. Outside of Jesus Christ, every good thing I ever did was evil. You say, that can't be right. It's exactly what the Bible teaches. I could help little old ladies across the street till doomsday. I could fix suppers for the homeless for doomsday. I could build houses for people who ain't got a house till doomsday. But without Christ, all of that is vanity. All of that is sin. Because there would have been a motive behind it. It says, men will not come to the light because their deeds are evil. They like their sin. They want to continue in their sin. Oh, maybe one day I'll change my mind. Maybe one day I'll grow up. Maybe one day I'll quit doing things and I'll let God save me. Uh-uh. You're not going to let God do anything. You're not going to say, well, God, I'm ready now. Oh, man, it ain't going to work that way. Some people may preach that, but that's not what's going to happen. You'll come when He calls you, or you won't come at all. And I'm saying, you will come if He calls you. It says here, their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, I didn't write this book, I'm sorry to tell you, but I sure love this book. So everyone that doeth evil, what's it happens? What's it say? Hateth the light. If you do evil, if you refuse to come to the Son, if you refuse to come to where God has said, I will save you, it means you hate the light. That means you're at enmity with God. You hate the truth of God's Word, and you like your sin. You like to stay right where you're at. It says here, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. And not only that, it says, neither cometh to the light. Not only do you hate it, but you don't want to come to it. You don't want to succumb to the glory of God. You don't want to bow to the power of God. You say, I like my sin, I'm going to stay right where I'm at. And then it says, lest. Lest his deeds should be reproved. They don't want to come to God because they have to say, somebody's going to say, guilty. Guilty. If you're in the darkness, you won't come to God because you don't want nobody to tell you how guilty you are. You're a sinner. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. You do bad things. They don't want to come here because people are telling them, you need to be born again. You need to repent. Quit doing those things. Because if they come here, they'll hear somebody reprove them. And I'm not talking about me. If I'm the one reproving you, you're missing the point. It ought to be the Holy Spirit of God reproving you. It ought to be God telling you what your deeds are. I don't look in your closet. I don't know what you do when you watch TV. I don't know what you do when you open up magazines and stuff. I don't know where you're at, and I don't want to. I have a bad enough trouble with that looking at what I do. I don't need to be looking in y'all's house. God does, though. God looks at all this stuff and says you won't come because you don't want to be reproved. But, oh, I love them buts. But he that doth truth cometh to the light. If God has woken you up, You may not be what you're supposed to be yet. You may not be all you're ever going to be yet. But if you are reproved, if you've been woken up by God, if something has happened to you where God has called you out of darkness, it says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. He's trying to get to more light. He's trying to get to more knowledge. He's trying to get to more of Jesus Christ. He that has been reproved cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought not in himself. Look what I did, God. I finally came to you. No. I finally came to you, but not because of who I am, but because of what you have done. They were wrought, worked, beat out in iron, beat out with fire, beat out to let you know, I am saving you. I'm calling you out of darkness, and I'm the one who is the doer of it. They weren't wrought in you. They weren't wrought in your good works. They weren't wrought in your mind change. They were wrought in God. God is the one who transforms you into the kingdom of His dear Son. God is the one that does a work that changes you around. God is the only answer we have. It says here, But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. If God has saved you, you'll know you have been saved because you have a hunger and a thirst and a need for things of God. I can remember very vividly when God saved me. He put it in my mind that I was going to prove that preacher wrong. You say, he put it in your mind to prove the preacher wrong? Well, that was my mindset back then. I got me one of these. I said, I'm going to read this. Because that's what they use, right? You always use whatever somebody uses against you. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to prove that preacher ain't got it together, and then I'm going to let us lay. No, that's not the way God worked it. He put it in my heart and my mind to start reading this book. And then He started revealing to me the things I was doing. And then when I finally got understand, you need to be going to church, listening to preaching, which we talked about in the assembly together. God had saved me back yonder, but I still hadn't been to a church house yet. I read the whole Bible. I ain't been to a church house yet. Finally, He said, now I'll go to church. And I said, I'm going to take this book. I'm going to prove that preacher wrong. And the preacher must have watched every move I made last week, because everything he preached was just what I did. He told me how I did this wrong and that wrong and this wrong and that wrong. And oh, man. I said, how do you know all the stuff I'm doing? I said, I'm just preaching the Word of God, son. Just preaching the Word of God. And that's when I knew the Word of God's truth. The Word of God's powerful. The Word of God divides and splits asunder even the joints and the moral and the intents and the thoughts of the heart. How I knew that when God made a work on me, when He wrought this thing, He was going to beat it on out till He finishes it. I'm not quite what I ought to be yet, but I know one thing, I ain't what I used to be. I'm not even close to what I used to be. And I'm not trying to be proud or boasterous, because a man gets too big proud of himself, he could fall. And Lord forbid I'd want to fall. But I do know this. Everything I am right now, I owe to God. Everything that I know about this book, I owe to God. Put it in my heart to study and to grow and to do things. If He had left me where I was, none of this that I know now would be anything. Oh, I thought I knew something about the Bible before I got saved. I was telling that preacher, oh man, I'm not on the front row. I may not be on the front row, but I'm as good as those guys on the second row. See, my thing was, I'm as good as them. Yeah, well, I wasn't as good as Christ, though. And that's the point. I'm looking at the second rowers. Well, I'm close to them. I'm sitting on the back. If I just get on the back row, I'm okay. Well, if you're just on the back row, you ain't okay. If that's all you're counting on. But if you are comparing yourself to Jesus Christ, and you see yourself coming up short, He says, come unto me. Come unto me. Lest your righteousness exceeds the Pharisees, you have nothing but your good works to count on. And Jesus says, if you're heavy hearted, if you're hungry, if you want the water of life, come unto me. Buy it without money. Buy it for free. Get the eye salve that I'm offering you. Get the heart fixed that I've got. Come unto me. And if God has so called you out of darkness this morning and said, come unto me, come on. Come on. We're not going to look bad at you. We're going to give God glory. We're going to give God thanks. If God has moved on your heart that you need to tell somebody here that you've been saved, bring it on. Bring it on. And I was going to go farther, but I think that's it. But I want you to understand, as John the Baptist said, he must decrease, or I must decrease, as John the Baptist said, and he must increase. And then John the Baptist, in all of his wisdom, says, no man can receive anything unless it's given of God. If you've been given something this morning, it's of God. If you've been told this morning, today's your day, it's of God. John the Baptist, there'd have been two churches. You realize that? There'd have been two churches if John the Baptist had stayed around. God knew that. So John the Baptist had to get going. And John the Baptist never claimed to be the one. He always pointed to Jesus, the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. This morning, if that Lamb has called you out, this morning is your day. Brother Keith.